May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please sit down. Good evening. My name is Alison Anderson, and as Christine just said, I have recently become one of the parish's occasional preachers. This means I underwent some training in the autumn and was licensed by the bishop to do occasional preaching. I think the idea is to give the regular preachers a bit of a break. As you know, we are having a series of talks during Lent entitled Deepening Our Prayer Life. And today's theme is Thanksgiving Prayer. I can assure you I was not asked to do this talk because of my own status as some sort of prayer warrior, far from it. In fact, I was heartened to hear recently that a previous archbishop, when asked how long he prayed for each day, stated, oh, about 2 minutes, I think. When pressed, he did admit to spending over an hour on his knees, but only achieved maybe 2 minutes of what he described as true prayer. So if we find it difficult, we're in good company. But why is it sometimes so difficult? Our readings today talk of devoting ourselves to prayer, rejoicing, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Have you been devoted to prayer this week? Have you rejoiced continually? Have you given thanks in all circumstances? No, nor have I. Perhaps we find prayer difficult when we define prayer as setting time aside and doing nothing else, a formal prayer time, if you like. Good though that is, I believe Thanksgiving prayer is more than that. It's also about having a positive attitude, being grateful to God during our day. It's about communication, and two-way communication at that, and having an open and thankful heart. Many of our children or grandchildren, maybe even some of us, can be quite annoying on their phones, constantly checking for a text or Instagram post, responding to every beep, vibration, and message. It feels a real punishment to have a phone removed or not to be allowed to look at it during a family meal or a lesson, because they want to be in constant communication with friends. But I seem able to happily ignore the spiritual beeps, nudges, posts, text messages from God. As a wise monk said to me during the pilgrimage some of us made from Guildford to Canterbury 3 years ago, God is always speaking, but we cannot hear him for all the clutter and noise of our lives. We live lives of busyness and hurry. Sometimes we just need to slow down and listen. Nico recently shared an old Inuit legend which made me think. The tale is of an old Inuit chief whose grandson complains to him that he wants to do the right thing, but often does the wrong thing instead. The Inuit chief explains there are two wolves inside the boy. A good wolf, who prompts him to be kind, helpful, and good. And a bad wolf, who leads him to be unkind, grumpy, and selfish. These wolves are fighting inside him, and the one that wins, that is how he behaves. What can I do then, says the boy? How can I do the right thing? Which wolf will win? The grandfather replies, the wolf you feed the most. We need to feed the wolf of thankfulness, gratitude, awe and wonder, not concentrating on fear, negativity, grumbling and selfishness. Or as St. Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think on these things. St. Paul was saying, feed the wolf. Our Old Testament reading inspires us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. These words are actually like a refrain throughout many, many psalms, including Psalms 100, 106, 118, many more. Also in 1 Chronicles and Jeremiah, repeated throughout like a chorus line in a song. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Whatever is happening in our world, with fear of the coronavirus, with stock markets collapsing, oil prices falling, we can still give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love is steadfast and endures forever. Not just thanking God for what he does, but for who he is. We can be thankful because we are not alone. He is there by our side, whether or not we can feel him there, and even if we have ignored him for some time. I sometimes don't hear from one of my sons for a few weeks at a time. He's busy, of course, with work and friends. Sometimes I'll send a little text such as, "What did you think of that tackle? A penalty, surely?" which usually elicits a reply, although maybe just one word. But sometimes he drops in, which is great. I don't mind if it's because of the rugby or football on the television, or because he's been visiting friends in Ashdod. He's come round, and we all chat and enjoy a meal. If I, poor parent as I am, can feel joy when my son makes contact, how much more will our Heavenly Father delight in us when we turn to him, however long it has been since last we did? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. What have you been thankful for in the last week, or in the last few days, or even just today? I find it easier to be thankful to God out in nature, out on the hills, maybe just a few sheep around, in the mountains, with the sunshine, a feeling of being at peace, and away from the cares of the world. Beauty can inspire us to feel thankful to God. Maybe music, art, the simple joy of children and grandchildren. Each of you will have your own way of feeling close to God. Maybe a good book, making a wonderful meal, having a perfect round of golf, if there is such a thing. But maybe sometimes we can pause and be thankful in whatever situation is giving us joy, and receive it as a gift from the great giver. But what about giving thanks in all circumstances? When I started preparing this sermon a couple of weeks ago, I asked to include the readings from Thessalonians because it didn't feel right to have a talk on Thanksgiving prayer without alluding to what for many of us is a problem, giving thanks when things are difficult. It's all very well out on the hillside with the sunshine, or in company of good friends with good food and good wine, but what about when life is challenging? Or just when life is relentless, like when people are caring for a loved one with a chronic health issue, or dementia, or when we ourselves find everyday life a struggle. Every day we hear on our news about increasing numbers of people getting infected with the coronavirus, increasing self-isolation, increasing fear and panic, bulk buying, and sometimes, I'm afraid, some selfishness. But we also hear of acts of kindness. I'm aware of a new Facebook group called Community Coronavirus Care, which is linking people happy to volunteer their time to help any of our community in need, whether that is doing shopping or just phoning for a chat. I think the clue in the passage read is in the little word in. We're not asked to give thanks for all circumstances, but in them. And I think that in hard times, times such as this, giving thanks to God, even if it's just thanking him that he is there with us, turns our face from ourselves and our panic and fear and up to God, who cares for us with his infinite love and grace. Justin Welby yesterday quoted Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And it is so easy to get caught in an outbreak of panic. For myself, I am a frontline health worker, and I'm concerned for my colleagues and my vulnerable patients. I have a daughter due to get married at the end of April, and I'm concerned whether the wedding will be able to go ahead. And I have a father in his 80s with a lot of other health conditions, the very picture of a high-risk individual. So easy to concentrate on looking down and inward rather than up and outward to God. As some of you know, my husband John is a children's cancer doctor at Great Ormond Street Hospital. I am humbled by the thank you letters he gets sometimes from the parents from a place of great suffering, which teaches me a great deal about giving thanks in difficult situations. I want to share a couple of these. Obviously, I have changed their names. From one family, we wanted to say how so thankful we are. We will be forever grateful for the treatment you chose that allowed Neve to be at home for over a year. And another family, thank you that Nathan got to splash in puddles with his brother. And a sister, Maria will be treasured in my heart forever. Never give up. These families have so much to teach me about steadfast love and endurance from a place of great anxiety and fear. So let us think again. What are we thankful for this week? Those who were here last week will remember that Malcolm Raby challenged us to spend just a few minutes at the end of the day, more than that Archbishop, reviewing the day. Maybe we can think of two or three things each day that we are thankful for. Nothing is too ordinary. A meal shared with friends. A smile from a stranger. Finding a packet of toilet roll in the supermarket. Good luck with that. The comfortable bed at the end of the day. It doesn't matter where we begin, just that we do. As C.S. Lewis said, begin where you are. Receive a pleasure and recognize its divine source and allow your mind to run back up the sunbeam to the sun. We have just sung, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way. I love the picture of God urging us and cheering us on our journey of life. So let us now begin where we are. Let's give thanks for this building and all the people who have prayed in it for hundreds of years, for the choir and the beautiful music, for the people sitting around us, for our friends and family, and for those who are not able to be here tonight, and for God who is good and whose steadfast love is here with us and endures forever. Let us pray together to close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today. Thank you for all the good things that we have experienced today, and for being there with us in all of it, good and bad. Thank you for your steadfast love, for your presence that urges, inspires us, and cheers us on in this journey we call life. Help us to still ourselves and listen to you. Help us to turn towards you in moments of anxiety. Thank you that you're always there, that you love each one of us as your precious child today. Amen.